broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hey, you're in the clubhouse. Welcome. It is September 1st, yikes, 2012. In the clubhouse this morning, Jim Nugent, founder, publisher, Global Golf Post. Duffy Waldorf, Champions Tour. He's on his way here to Hawaii for the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. Jerry King, TaylorMade Golf. Michael Patrick Shields and Tony Biotta, Patriot Golf Day Director. First, let's thank our sponsors.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alakai Mechanical, the best minds in plumbing, air conditioning, and sheet metal. When you need a new roof, flashing, gutters, downspouts, AC ducts, or a commercial kitchen and custom stainless steel counters, it's Alakai Mechanical. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones Jr. Bordered by Emerald Green Mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Also brought to you by Discount Furniture Warehouse, offering a wide range of furniture to complement your island lifestyle. 345 North Nimitz Highway, visit HawaiiDiscountFurniture.com. Discount Furniture Warehouse, where the prices are so low, it's insane. And by Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business or special event. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Hi, my name is Danielle Tucker. You're in the clubhouse, of course, and we're talking about eyes, the importance of your eyes and how important they are to your game. Excellent eyesight doesn't always mean your eyes are working together to converge on the golf ball. Level with the horizon. The eyes work, but standing over the ball and looking down the ball, your eyes have to work together to converge on the single point to line up the hole. If one eye is weaker than the other, you'll naturally adjust your head and posture to compensate. Is that eye dominance messing with the target line? We're going to give you the answer to that, but first, we want to talk about some of the things you can do on the golf course if you use prescription lenses and sunglasses. And to do that with us this morning is Dr. Melanie Tantazera, ophthalmologist. Her office is on King Street, right across from McKinley High School. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tantazera.
Thank you, Danielle.
It's good to have you in the house.
And it's great to be here. Thank you.
Okay. You know, I've seen golfers on television, and they'll wear one set of sunglasses on one, and then they have another set. It's like they switch. If they're putting, they're using one set of sunglasses. If they're not putting, they use another set of sunglasses. Are there sunglasses, prescription sunglasses or otherwise, that are good for golfers?
Yes, indeed. There are certainly lenses that are perfect for golfers.
Do you know what makes them better than regular prescription lenses?
There are a few things that make them better. Having a transition lens, of course, so that they get dark when coming outside and the darkness adjusts so to the amount of light outside is very beneficial. The lenses that I'm thinking of are of an amber tint, and that helps highlight the variation in the ground so that you can see the lay of the land a little bit better, the lay of the course, so that it highlights the little differences.
Those subtle contours that you see on the green.
Exactly. That helps you see the green better. It's the coloration in that lens, okay? So that makes a big difference as well.
And these are special, they're not necessarily prescription, they're for golfers, though, specifically?
Yes, and they're usually prescription, so they're made to order to exactly match the golfer's two eyes to each other, so that they're going to maximize their own personalized vision, so that they're going to be able to get the best, both distance and intermediate vision, to be able to make all of those shots that they need to see.
That's good. And where can I find these? Does your office carry these?
Yes, our office does make them. Because they're specialized lenses, we do have to send them to the mainland, so it takes a couple of weeks. They are the absolute best for golfers.
For golfers. Definitely. Yeah. You can call Dr. Melanie Tantazera. The phone number is 591-9111. online at truevisioncenterhawaii.com, and you can find out more, and she can get those special golfing prescription lenses for you. You probably also want to go get an eye checkup. I came across it when I was preparing to talk to you because, you know, I wanted to be golf specific, and I found this situation I don't think that a lot of us realize, and I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this right. Presbyopia?
Oh, yes. Yes. What,
it causes the lens to lose elasticity, and that mm-hmm. affects your focus?
Unfortunately, it affects everyone's focus after a certain age. So we don't want to talk about that, but yes.
No, it's okay, because, I mean, I heard everybody tell me that at a certain age I was going to have to get reading glasses, and it happens like that.
All of
a sudden, at 40.
Well, yes.
It took me a little bit longer. I was lucky, but mm-hmm. when it happened, bam.
Right.
I can't read with my reading glasses.
Yes.
So
yes.
This is going to happen. And I understand that this ability to focus, it also affects the visual acuity, the clarity, contrast sensitivity, whether you can see well in the shade or on cloudy days, depth perception, color discrimination. That seems to really affect all of our eyes. What can we do about this?
The presbyopia?
Yes.
Well, not at 40. No, I'm kidding. Well, presbyopia does basically hit everyone as we get to a certain age. Mostly it seems to affect the near to intermediate vision. The color vision things occur more with the associated cataracts and other problems, eye problems that come along with getting older. The near vision is pretty much fixed by glasses, you know, and later on other procedures. But for now, we really don't have a whole lot to offer except for multifocal contact lenses, really good glasses that seem to help.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's just something that you guys need to know about because, you know, that's one of the reasons why you need to make sure that you get your eyes checked and you make sure that your prescription is up to date. That
right.
will change, right?
It does change as we get older, definitely. The presbyopia changes the most rapidly between ages 40 and 50, and then it kind of slows down. It does settle down, continues to change, but it changes much more slowly so that you're not going to feel like, gosh, my vision wasn't that bad yesterday, and what happened today? That's not going to happen.
This is something else you may not know, and I discovered this. I went out and bought readers because I figured, well, I'll just get those readers, and I use the magnification, but it was tiring my eyes.
Right.
And is it possible for two different eyes to be reading differently?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, because the prescription in your two eyes, the eyes are often different for distance. And if they're different for distance, then they are going to also be different for reading. So then you need a pair of customized readers so that the one eye doesn't get more tired than the other because it's doing most of the reading, or one eye's blurry for reading, the other one's not. So yes, it does make sense to get a pair that's customized to your particular eyes.
Excellent,
yes.
Excellent.
Prescription glasses, in other words.
Dr. Melanie Tantazera, you can check her out at truevisioncenterhawaii.com, and her office is very conveniently located with lots of parking right across from McKinley High School. The address, 1010 South King Street. Dr. Melanie Tantazera, board-certified ophthalmologist. Her phone number, 808-591-9111. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star Protection Agency. Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're in office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome in the clubhouse. We've got the FedEx Cup underway with the Deutsche Bank Championship in Boston with Rory McIlroy going low, low, low. Ryan Moore, Sunil Noh, Jason Duffner, Chris Kirk, Bryce Mulder, Tiger Woods. Has Tiger? No, I don't think he's teed off yet. So, got a great event underway. Everybody's chasing Rory. On the phone with us right now, Jim Nugent, founder and publisher, Global Golf Post. It's the only all-online, all-golf magazine, and it's free. Just provide your email address for delivery. Welcome to the show, Jim.
Danielle, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And first off, let's go with the Ryder Cup picks. Who are you picking for, making the decision for Davis Love III?
Well, I think there's two locks. I think Steve Stricker and Jim Furyk are both on the team. They've got experience. They're of a certain age where I think Davis Love is comfortable with them. So I think those two make the team. That leaves, in my book, four or five guys, Hunter Mahon, Dustin Johnson, Snedeker, Nick Watney, and Fowler. Watney played well last week. I'd give him the edge. And I just have an intuition here, and it's nothing more than that Ricky Fowler gets the nod. He hasn't had a great summer, but he's a tough kid. He's good at match play, and he certainly distinguished himself last time out. So I just have an intuition about that, similar to Ben Crenshaw, I guess.
You're having a Ben moment. That's wonderful. Plus, of course, Ricky Fowler's great with the fans. And some people say, well, we shouldn't take that into consideration. It's about winning the cup, and who's hot ought to be picked, and that's it. So,
it's not like they're going to have trouble drawing at the gate. The Ryder Cup is sold out in Chicago, but Fowler could spice up the television ratings just a bit, perhaps.
Yeah, okay. And he brings a whole lot of young people to the fold.
he sure does, and young girls, I've noticed.
Yeah, and y'all young girls. But it's amazing how many young men wear what he's wearing. It's like the Ricky Fowler contingent has arrived. All of them wearing his outfit. It's really cool.
It started happening last summer, and you can't go to a tour event without seeing 50, 60 kids dressed like Ricky.
Oh, to the chagrin of the oh-so-proper golfers. They're looking at those hats, right, and those colors going,
Yes, exactly.
Get with it. Speaking of getting with it, you are also on the board of directors of the American Junior Golf Association, vice president, and overshadowing the beginning of the Ryder Cup was the news that Lydia Ko made. A 15-year-old comes in from New Zealand, where she'd won on a professional event at the age of 14, the youngest at the time. That record was quickly beaten, but she won on the LPGA Tour. She beat the field at the age of 15, and I'm wondering, do 15-year-olds play in your top AJGA events?
We're having trouble keeping them. They all want to turn pro.
Well, she says she's not going to. That's interesting. But, tell me your take on this.
Well, it left me and a lot of other people speechless. I mean, that wasn't a bad field that she beat out there in Canada. There's little question that this girl's talented. She's been the number one amateur in the world for the better part of 2 years. She just recently won the U.S. Amateur. But that's a big step to go from being the number one amateur to beating the pros. And so it... I think a lot of people had respect for her game, but I think it went up considerably. And the pressure on her now to pursue a professional career, perhaps before she wants to, perhaps even before she's ready to, is going to be enormous. She said she wants to go to school. She said she wants to go to Stanford. I hope she follows through on that.
Now, who's going to put the pressure on her?
Oh, the pressure will come from agents. The pressure will come from outside interests, perhaps even the media. You know, we'll start to say, hey, what are you waiting for? Why don't you turn pro? But she's awfully young. And, you know, I recently had dinner with the LPGA commissioner, Mike Wan, and I think he was kind of happy that the Lexi Thompson situation played out like it had. But I think he could have another situation on his hands sooner than he expected.
Ah, yes. Well, she certainly isn't of age to join the LPGA Tour. That would be some exemption, wouldn't it?
Well, she's not old enough to buy a beer or rent a car.
Certainly not. Can you? All right. We have all these great U.S.-born players, all these great LPGA players from the European countries. And we have a larger number of terrific players from Asia. And I'm curious, what's your take on why our Asian-born players are so accomplished compared to the Western players?
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons for it, and everyone has kind of their favorite explanation. I just think that there's a different cultural work ethic found in the Asians. And it isn't just golf. I mean, you hear about Asian kids that are prodigies at the piano or pursuing some other activity because they pour their every waking minute into it, and they get the support of their parents sometimes more than they want or need. It just appears that they're willing to work harder and longer than the European contingent or the American contingent at this moment in time. There certainly are exceptions, but the work ethic among these girls, starting with Yani Tseng, is awfully impressive.
How much time do they put into their game?
Well, I think it's a job, you know.
It's a job as a child.
Yeah, I think, you know, when they're kids, they're putting in 8-10-hour days in one form or another. That may not be, you know, playing. It certainly could include chipping and putting and pounding balls on the range and taking instruction as well as working out. And that's a big difference today for all golfers, men and women. They're in much better physical condition. They are athletes as they've never been before.
What is the AJGA doing to elevate the game of our U.S. players, to make them become more work-minded?
Well, our principal function is to provide kids an opportunity to use the game to get a college scholarship. That's our purpose. That's our mission, and we're pretty good at it. Almost all, in fact, I'd venture to guess that all of our boys go to school at least for a little while. With the girls, it's a little bit different. You know, Lexi is not an exception. Girls they mature a little bit earlier than boys, and some of them at age 18 are ready to go off to the pros. Jay Marie Green, the runner-up in the U.S. Amateur, is not going to go to school. She's going to turn professional. But our purpose and mission at the AJGA is to provide kids the opportunity to earn a scholarship to college by playing in front of coaches from all across the country, and we're very, very successful at providing those opportunities.
Yes, you are. And I've heard kudos from so many people here in Hawaii about how you've helped made that path possible. I mean, of course, there's Mary B. Porter King with you, the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And, you know, that's the start. That's the junior golf. And then they get to funnel right into the AJGA events and then go into college events. And the question a lot that comes up is keeping our young players in the game after they go through college. It seems like we have a fallout. At some point, they've really embraced golf as youngsters. Then they go into the workforce, and we lose them.
Well, there is some of that going on, but, you know, some of it's hard to circumvent. You know, if you're starting a career, you're not going to be able to put the time in to maintain your game at the elite level that you once did, and so you might lose a little bit of interest. And you know, women face a different issue at some point in their 20s. Many women begin to start a family, and that works against playing golf. But I don't think they lose it forever. I think the attachment, the love for the game is still there. And I think they, many of them, find their way back to the game, perhaps not playing as well as they did as a youth, but perhaps enjoying it even more.
I hope so, because even if you can't play it at that level, golf is wonderful. It's a wonderful pastime. It's a wonderful way to get outdoors and hopefully get their own kids into the game. A question back for Lydia on Lydia Ko. Are we paying too much attention to how old she is versus her game? I mean, her game was amazing at the CN Canadian Women's Open.
You know, I was exchanging emails afterwards with Judy Rankin, who broadcast the event and is a dear friend and known to all in golf, is a great player and a great champion. And she was amazed at what she was seeing. This 14-year-old, 15-year-old, whatever her age is, she was bombing it past the professionals, 20, 25 yards. She has a short game that's second to none, and it seemed like she made all the putts that she needed to. To go out there on the final round as she did and play as well as she did with that kind of pressure on her, boy, that was really, really impressive.
Yeah, and she looks so 15 and yet not so. I don't know how to describe it. She's just moving, watching her walk up the 18th fairway. With a little smile on her face, nonplussed, you know?
Nonplussed is exactly the word that I was going to use, just like another day in the golf course.
Yeah.
That must be her makeup. It must account for part of her success because she obviously keeps her emotions in check. I think most 15-year-old girls would have been crying their eyes out, and she looked like it was just another day on the golf course.
Yeah, she was amazing, absolutely amazing. Well, it's going to be fun to watch her. Whatever happens, I hope we put as much emphasis on her as a person as we do as her as a champion, because that's
I hope so too.
That's the most important part.
Yes.
I have Duffy Waldorf calling in. He's going to be playing soon. We got a kind of late start, but on the FedEx Cup, I wanted to ask you, should all the players play all the events in this FedEx Cup playoff?
No, I. Although I'm not crazy about the playoffs, generally speaking, I think the format as it exists right now, it adds some excitement to it. It adds some pressure. You know, it's going to get cut down every week. I'm not sure that going into the final tournament with 30 is the right number, but I kind of like the whittling down process. I think that it's something different. And I think that's good for the tour.
Jim Nugent, founder, publisher, Global Golf Post, and, of course, on the board of directors of the AJGA. Thanks so much for being on the show with me. We'll have to do it again.
Danielle, thanks for having me, and keep it in the short grass.
Thank you. Aloha. Right. We'll be back right after this with Duffy Waldorf, Champions Tour. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
It's going to be a gorgeous day in Hawaii. We have a mostly sunny sky, chance of some rain in the morning, slight chance of some rain in the afternoon. Yeah, it's just going to be a beautiful day with the winds out of the east, 15 to 20 miles per hour. Four-time winner on the PGA Tour, played Sony Open 16 times, tied for second in 1995, and joined the Champions Tour, his first event, the Boeing Classic. Duffy Waldorf, welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's great having you here. Just from what I've read, I can't wait. 16 times. How many times have you been to Hawaii already?
Oh,
gosh. Well, you know, there was a period of time when I'd be going 2 to 3 times a year. Because one of my other favorite tournaments was the Kapalua International. And they played that. I played in that year after year. And so that'd be like a November tournament. And then quite often there'd be a family vacation in the summer. So I think I wrote in my... I had a little bio that I did for the champion, so I think I took 20 times on vacation. So I'm going to say 40 times.
So you like it here?
Oh, no. My friend, I don't like it. I love it.
You love it. Well, this is Kapolei. Have you played a Kapolei yet?
I actually have. I played, there was a Wednesday Pro-Am during the Sony Open this year, and I went out there on Wednesday and played there. So, and the tournament, yeah, I don't know where the tournament was. Obviously, we didn't know there was going to be a Champions Tour event there in September, but worked out nicely that I got a little practice round in, even though I didn't know it.
Hey, yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Now, I've got to ask you a question. I read, from someplace, it was on the PGAtour.com, do you still have your friends or family write on the golf ball that you're playing with little messages in competition?
Yeah, most definitely. That's kind of the one thing I've definitely kept going since 1992 when I started it. And, you know, it can be anybody. I mean, if you and I go to dinner a week after next, I might bring the pens and a few balls and have you do one or two.
Oh, that would be so much fun. You guys, see, your whole philosophy is exactly what I love. The game is a game. It's got to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got to play the game like a game. You know, let everyone else, you know, the results determine, you know, how you're ranked and how you're judged and how, you know, where you fit in, you know, in the hierarchy. But at the end of the day, when you're out there on the course, make it as much a game as possible, because I think that's, well, two things. It's how you play your best, and, you know, it's the best way to spend your time on the course.
That's exactly what I was saying. It's how you play your best. You know, someone said, oh, well, it's one thing I shot a 62 with my friends, but, you know, I could never do that in competition. Well, loosen up.
Maybe. Yeah,
sorry.
It was funny. I was reading somebody on the web.com tour, which I played quite a bit this year, and he had just won a tournament. And he said, oh, well, now I can be, you know, freed up and be loose the rest of the year and just go for it. And I was thinking, well, maybe you should just do that all the time and not after you win a tournament.
Exactly. What's the difference for you? What do you notice between the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour?
Well, that was my first event, so it was my maiden voyage. So I've gotten one tournament in. Here's the big difference for me. I know everyone, and so of course it was my first week, so everyone's, you know, wishing me well and saying hi and catching up. Uh-huh. I needed an extra 15 minutes just to warm up, just because you'd actually talk while, you know, in between your moments of practicing and warming up. On the web.com tour, the PGA Tour, I pretty much know it's going to take me 40 minutes to warm up, and that's all the time I need, because, you know, at best you might say hi to someone, and then you just go to the putting green, and then you go hit some balls, and you go hit some chips, and off to the tee you go with not a word said.
That's on the PGA Tour versus the Champions Tour, where there's a lot of camaraderie, so to speak. Right, but you guys are fierce when you get on the course.
Yeah, but we're definitely, it's way more easygoing. I mean, just the fact there's a cart out there and my caddy's out there with a big smile on his face going, oh, I love this cart. It kind of takes, you know, it's a little bit less, you feel a little less serious about it. But, you know, it's definitely, you know, when you're hitting golf shots, you want to do well and you want to compete and shoot those scores. But definitely a great deal out there. You know, the guys are just, you know, they've seen it all. They've been through a lot of battles, and I think they're enjoying this time of their life.
I had something else that really struck me. I was reading the question and answer from Dave Senko, right? And you wish you had a singing voice? You seem to be a big lover of music.
Yeah, I do. And actually, I guess my wish comes true, because my son is an artist. He sings. Both my two older sons are both musicians, and they're both writing songs and making music, and so it's kind of cool. He's got a show coming up week from tomorrow at the Roxy. So I'm really jazzed.
At the Roxy?
Yeah, the Roxy. You know the Roxy on Sunset, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. He has his own individual career under Tyler Lane, and then he's also just joined this band. He started another band called California that they did an album, and now he's joined another band called Cartoons, just playing bass, which isn't what he normally does, but just to have some fun and a little 80s vibe kind of party music, so it should be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you like Lady Gaga?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lady Gaga. Right when she came out, I was like, man, who is this Lady Gaga? But, I mean, you know, real dance. You know, I like a nice dance beat. And that, you know, the first album was real dancey. And,
yes.
And it was different, though. I mean, it's different. I liked the way she put it. She reminded me a lot. I like Pink a lot, too, and her in the album that hit for Pink, that Misunderstood, that album was just kind of like that, too. Just had that nice, real catchy beat, kind of different, but...
Yeah.
So anyway, love Lady Gaga.
And I
just go to her show, too, here in L.A., so that was fun.
Was it a good show? Did she put on a good show?
It was a great show. It was after her second album, so, you know, it was about 2 years ago. But it was really cool, because she was kind of like, well, I performed here a year ago, and look where I am now. She opened for somebody a year ago, and now, you know, 9 months later, a year, look at me now. You know, it was funny.
All right. Then another thing. I wondered why we don't have, I think there may be a little industry in Hawaii, a very small one, a wine industry. You're a wine aficionado, and how did you get into wines?
You know, my dad and I, back when I was in college, we were just regular. I was a beer drinker. He was a bourbon and ginger drinker. And he had a doctor friend who was he was a lawyer, and he worked for him. And he brought over some white Zinfandel one day, some Sutter Home white Zinfandel for us to try. And we thought we were all pretty fancy drinking, you know, wine and sniffing and swirling. And after that, it led to Chardonnay. And then we got the Chardonnay. And then we started drinking red wines. And from there, you know, now it's just blossomed into loving wines from all over the world.
Where do you like to travel to try wine?
That's a good question. That's a tricky one. I've been to Napa a few times,
uh-huh.
And I just got back from a sideways trip up in Los Olivos in the Santa Ynez Valley, just north of Santa Barbara.
Oh.
Those are, you know, those are fun trips, but you tend to drink too much? Yeah. Because you have breakfast, then you start, a lot of times you start at 10 in the morning and go all day.
Wow.
Those trips are kind of fun, but 2 days max. I kind of like, I kind of want to do some trips where it's more, you know, more easy, like a winery a day, you know, maybe like Italy. I'd love to go to New Zealand.
Oh, New Zealand or Italy. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
And take it easy, you know, not too many, not go sideways with it. Just, you know, ease into it and keep yourself, maybe have more of it. I think it's more fun when you can take more time and then have less time tasting wine and more time just doing other things, so you have some balance.
Yeah, yeah. Now, speaking of balance, let's a little bit more about golf. How do you work out? Do you have a swing coach? How do you prepare for the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship?
Well, I have it all, like a lot of the other guys. I mean, that's been the big thing on the regular tour. You know, you kind of have specialists that handle everything. I have a short game coach, James Siegman. I have swing coach James Jim Hardy. I have my trainer here at home, Missy Beaver, and she works. I do kettlebell workouts with her, and then she also works on my body. She's a therapist, so she gets my body in shape. So I kind of have, you know, a whole team, you know, along with my caddy, who's, you know, preparing for the course. And so, you know, it does take a team effort to get it done. It's just because at the end of the day, we're all, you know, excellent golfers, and it's just those little edges you're looking for that gives you that, you know, even half a shot a day, or, you know, just that extra couple shots a tournament makes such a difference.
That's interesting. I mean, this is a big change from 20 years ago, isn't it, to have this team ethic working toward the goal, supporting the golfer.
It's a huge difference. I think it's just a evolution of it. Golf used to be, I mean, golf was always an individual game. I think I still look at it today, I think, wow, I mean, look at the basketball teams, the football teams. They have trainers, and they have coaches, especially coaches for all the positions, and, you know, golf is always, you know, you just kind of show up, you find a caddy, and you go do it. You do it with what, you know, maybe what you'd learned as a kid, and, you know, maybe you had a coach, you know, helping you along the way, but, you know, you go home and see him when you go home, and then you're out on tour just doing it. But now it's like, you know, you need to, you know, there's so much time available that you can use, and, you know, guys don't want to just go out on tour and then come back. They want to have it, you know, they have it all kind of programmed out when they need to see their coaches and,
yeah,
know what the best timing is. So it's definitely a totally different game. I mean, I think that's why you see so competitive now, too. So many golfers are competitive and good.
And so good. I mean, you think about Ben Hogan. I mean, here's, you know, a solitary man working on his game, working alone to achieve his goals and recovering. I certainly had doctors helping with the recovery after the accident, but he worked on his game. And now we have teams of people working with the golfer to create their swing, their putting, their mental, their physical, right?
It's very cool. I mean, it also, you know, there's that whole business too. Back when I started, I mean, you had a coach and your coach worked on everything. Now you have coaches that are specialty, you know, you've heard of putting coaches, short game coaches, and then of course long game. I mean, you can have, and of course the mental coach. I mean, there's four areas of the game that you might have been covered by one before.
Now you've
gotten very specialized.
Right, and that's a huge responsibility. You're supporting a lot of people, Duffy.
Oh, I know. I feel like I'm supporting, you know, America's economy here.
It was great talking to you. I hope we get to meet when you're here for the event, the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. That's at Kapolei. It's not next weekend, but the following week. Are you coming early?
Yeah, I'll be there Monday. I may stay late, but I'm not coming till Monday. But Champions Tour is great. One of the great things about Champions Tour is 3-day event doesn't start till Friday. So I got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, to prepare Hawaiian style.
Hawaiian style. Okay, well, I know you're a Cubby fan, Chicago Cubs.
Yep.
Who's your team football?
Currently, now, you got to remember, I'm from Los Angeles, so we tend to, I have friends who are Packer fans, Steeler fans, Giants fans. I'm a Cowboy fan right now.
Oh, you're right now.
And I've been with them about 4 years, and Romo, I think this might be Romo's last. I was about ready to throw him out last year, so. And I've met Romo, and he's a great guy, but I need him to be able to get us deeper into the playoffs.
Well, that's how a lot of people in Hawaii feel. There were a lot of Cowboy fans. Duffy Waldorf, so great talking with you. Can't wait to see you play. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store, if you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome back. We've got Jerry King, PGA, Aimpoint certified instructor, swing coach, TaylorMade representative in Hawaii. Welcome to the show, Jerry King.
Thank you, Danielle. Good morning.
Good morning. I just was talking with Duffy Waldorf. He's got an entire crew. He's got the mental coach, the swing coach, the putting coach, the physical coach.
If you're going to do it right and do it big, right?
That's right. But you're going to be all of those things together, coach.
I love it.
Yeah, that's right. And now, the title of your lesson today, Training the Dramatic to Achieve a Happy Medium. Training the Dramatic. You should write a book by that title.
I love it. Well, you know, in all of my years of coaching, and I've always told all my players is that I see probably about one out of every 300 or 400, and I mean it, one out of every 300 or 400 of my players will actually overdo anything that I ask them to do.
They'll overdo it?
that'll overdo it. That's 1 in 300 or 400. So that means I'm pretty much telling my players, you have no chance to overdo it, so let's try. Let's train the dramatic. We might get lucky and experience the happy medium.
Okay, so most people aren't going as far as you'd like them to?
That's right. You know, I've always said we're creatures of comfort and habit. And it's always been my job to take my players out of their comfort zone for the right reasons. Get out of your comfort zone, train the dramatic. It's got to feel crazy dramatic just to be able to make a little difference.
Okay, now I understand.
There we
so
go.
I've got to push myself until, let's say, most people can understand this from a physical point of view, push myself until it hurts. Do one more rep, two more reps, until you feel that shake in your muscles, and then you can let go.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, it's train the opposite. You know, if I have my player, most of my players that are hitting it fat or that tend to slice the ball, well, they're coming in steep. And what that means is that, you know, if you're going to set up and make a baseball swing with your driver, well, that's flat. It's more around your body. Well, that's opposite of steep. So if I have a player that's coming in really steep and they're hitting it fat or they're topping it because they're coming in steep, well, I'll have them make baseball swings and feel it really dramatic that we're swinging around our body, coming in more shallow. And then gradually lower it until we get up to the ball. And then there you go. Now we've shallowed out the swing a little bit. But it has to feel crazy dramatic that they feel like they're swinging so flat and around, and they're actually not. It's just that happy medium in between steep and flat.
I see. So if you're almost hitting your ankles, you're coming in steep.
Exactly.
And what you want us to do is a baseball swing, but we're not going to actually do it. It's like when you swing in your backswing, how many people don't know what's happening in their backswing, Jerry?
Well, you know, most of us, and I like it that way. You know, I believe that when you're out there on the golf course and you're playing, you have to let your athlete free it up. And it's good. You don't want to sit there and think about what you're doing out on the golf course. And that's why I've always used the terms, you know, you train it. When we're on the range, let's train it dramatic. Let's step out of our comfort zone. Let's do it ludicrous, crazy dramatic. And then get out on the golf course and then trust it. So you train it, and then you trust it.
So that once you're on the course, you're just letting your body do what you've already trained it to do.
Exactly. You know, I'll have a lot of my players make a dramatic practice swing. I mean, you'll see a lot of the tour players. You know, let's say if they're coming too far from the inside, well, you'll see them take a practice swing, swinging to the left, and then get up to the ball, forget about it, turn on the athlete, and free it up.
Interesting. So if you see one of the tour players and you think they're practicing very strange swings, that's not maybe what they're doing. It's exactly what you said they're doing.
They're training the dramatic to set up to the ball, and when they free it up, now they're planning on having that happy medium, which is in between, you know, what their tendency is and what they're training.
Got it. All right. Now, how do we fix the slice?
I love straightening out the slices, and it's actually very simple. I'm not saying easy. I'm not saying easy at all, but very, very simple. First thing that I'll have all my players do is you've got to get the first domino lined up. So if we're a right-handed golfer, let's focus on the left hand, making sure that the heel pad, you know, you have two pads. If you're looking at your hand, you get your thumb pad,
right,
and you have the heel pad.
Okay.
So take that heel pad and lift it up and over and hide the handle. Just like I tell my kids, that my junior golfers, is to hide that handle, get that heel pad up and over. You're a left-handed golfer, you take your right heel pad and lift it up and over and hide the handle. So that's the first thing to do. Now, for my slicers, get this. Get out on the range, hide the handle with that pad, actually set up with the club face 10, 20 degrees open.
So almost point,
the club face
almost
open.
Yes, right.
And then tee the ball up with, let's say, a 7-iron or a 6-iron, tee the ball up and sit there and aim straight with that heel pad covering, hiding the handle. Open the club face 10 to 20 degrees, and then sit there and swing 75 to 80% speed until you can start feeling that club face rotate close. You see, it's a game of opposites. That's why I've said I've always had a job as a coach, because a game of golf is a game of complete opposites. My slicers will get up there, and they'll start closing the club face more, and they'll set up with a closed club face. Well, there's only one thing a closed club face can do, open through impact. So let's get out on the range, open that club face 10 to 20 degrees with the ball on the tee, and just smoothly sit there until you can feel that club face rotate. And it's amazing. I usually see my players will do it on the first, second, or third swing. And that ball will come off that tee with a big power draw. And they look at me like I'm crazy. Like, how did we just do that?
Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. What happened? Let's say, you know, your player is able to do what you're telling them to do when you're standing there. Now, they go home, maybe the next day, and they go and try it. Bam, they can't do it anymore. What's,
you know, because they're going right back into their comfort zone, and even though they have the intention to try to do what we're working on, they're going back into their comfort zone and doing what they've always done. Now, I always tell my players, don't take it personal. That's what we all do. We all go back. So that's why if I can really make that impact with my player to get him to understand, train the dramatic, so crazy dramatic, just get the happy medium. You know, my slicer gets up, and they usually have their ball position too far forward with that weak grip and then shoulders open. All right? So if you see that 1-2-3 formula, ball's too far forward, which gives a weak grip and open shoulders. So I'll say, okay, let's move that ball back, take that left hand, really make it strong, and move the right shoulder back. It's a different 1-2-3. It's completely opposite. And they're going to feel like they're sitting there with closed shoulders, ball way too far back with a strong grip, and it's not. But you have to take yourself out of your comfort zone and feel like you're overdoing it just to get that happy medium.
Interesting. All right. Now, how about the poor guy who's got a hook?
Oh, you know, I love being able to straighten that out, too. It's simple. Now, my guys that are hooking, I mean, obviously, what creates spin right to left? It's more of a closing club face. So I'll set them, get them to set up with a chip shot. So set up with, like, let's say, a 9-iron or a pitching wedge and sit here and stay on the inside of the ball. Now, if you think of the ball, there's two quadrants. You've got that outside of the ball and the inside. When they're hooking it, the toe is closing, hitting the outside of the ball. So if you hit a chip shot and just feel how to completely stay on the inside of the ball, keep the club face feel like it's only touching the inside of the ball through impact. Hit a few chips, and you'll see that the chip shot or the little punch shot will have that left to right spin. And then get up to a half swing and feel the same thing all the way up to three-quarter swing, all the way to full swing, staying on the inside of the ball.
Huh. The inside of the ball. Explain what that is.
All right, so if you're looking down at the ball, if you're setting up to it, Picture you draw a line directly to the target through the ball, and you cut the ball in half. If you can keep the club face on that inside quadrant, inside portion of the ball, the club face is never closing. So think of your right hand coming to the ball, and you're keeping the palm of your right hand just wiping that inside of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that right hand is the club face.
Got it.
You feel the same thing of staying on that inside part of the ball, and the club face never closes. And you start with chip shots, move up to half swing, and then all these shots will have these little fade to it. And then you set up with full swing, ball goes straight.
I could actually make my hand do that. I could make my hand do that.
That's what I'm trying to get the listeners out there. If you can look down at your right hand and picture that that's the club face,
Stay,
it's like you're wiping the inside of the ball.
Yes.
Your fingers will never cover and go to the outside of the ball. That's like the club face.
Okay. Now, why do I top my ball?
Why do you, Danielle?
Why do I
stop
top my ball?
Stop
I don't
the top.
Understand.
Stop the top.
So frustrating, you know?
And, you know, most of my players that are topping the ball, and it sounds interesting, but they're about to hit it fat. They're about to hit it fat, so then they top it.
Okay, explain for those, you know, who don't understand all the terminology. What does fat mean?
Okay, fat is hitting behind the ball, hitting too much ground.
You mean
so that, most of my players that are topping it is because they're coming in steep, and they're about, steep means deep, they're about to go deep into the ground, which would mean that you're hitting it fat behind the ball. And at the last second, they give it the oh-no move, the arms bend, and they end up topping it. So there's two things that we need to fix there. We need to come in a little bit more shallow, come in a little bit more from the inside versus coming in steep, you know, right down on the ball. And then two is be able to have our arms extend and rotate through impact. So I call this a little load and hold drill. Load and hold. So if you take your wedge or your 9-iron, set up, we're going to take a half swing, tee the ball up, and I want you to just take it about half or a quarter of the way back, and through impact, you're going to hold your finish with your arms almost touching and extend it. So it's a little load on the way back, loading the wrist, and then swing through, keeping your arms fully extended. And this is only a little half shot. And you'll hear that sweet sound, that good sounded impact, but you have to hold the finish. And hold the finish and notice that your arms should be extended and holding every time. And then gradually work your way up to a full swing. That load and hold drill is my favorite drill of all time to get players back into solid contact. So if you're topping the ball, we're giving it the oh-no move through impact and the elbows are bending. So if I can get my player to be able to feel that, swing it quarter of the way back, load it, and through impact, hold that finish and feel that the arms are extended, almost touching.
Good. Okay.
And Danielle, you do that, you will not top it.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because what you're telling us is when we're coming down steep, we realize that and we make an adjustment that's wrong, and then we end up topping it. That's...
Yeah, and it's subconscious. You don't realize that you're coming in steep, but your athlete in there, he or she does.
Yes. Yeah, the body knows what's going on. It's the mind that's all messed up. The body feels, uh-oh, we're going to come in contact with the ground. Oh, dear, we better make an adjustment here. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Now, there's a little trick of the trade that when I'm out doing my demo events with TaylorMade and I want my player to get that immediate result. There's a little trick of the trade. If you're topping the ball, most of the time, my players are gripping it. And this is for a right-handed golfer. They're gripping it too tight with their left hand. And it's interesting, Danielle. Next thing, and the players out there that have a club in your hand, hold it with your left hand and then grip it tight. And you'll notice that the club head comes up. It's almost like you set the club. You load it with the wrist. So when you grip it tight. So if you can feel a little bit more pressure with your right hand instead of your left hand, if you're topping it, because if you push down with your right hand, now the club goes down more.
Okay.
So it's that grip pressure. If you're gripping it too tight with your left hand, you have a tendency to top it. So let's grip it a little bit more aggressive with the right hand. And then vice versa. Let's say if you're hitting it fat, well, you've got too much pressure, grip pressure with your right hand. So if you're hitting it a little heavy, a little fat behind the ball, let's grip it a little more aggressive with the left hand, and that'll prevent hitting it fat. Grip it a little bit tighter with the right hand if you're topping it. Everybody taking notes?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, you can listen to this online at radiogolfclub.com because I archive all of the shows. So you can listen to this at your own speed. You can listen to it again and hear Jerry King. It'll be ready about half an hour after the show ends, about 9 o'clock, radiogolfclub.com. Let's give away some golf balls. What do you say? Some tailor-made rocket balls. 808-296-5467. 808-296-5467. 5467. I have a feeling I know who your Ryder Cup picks are, Jerry. Let me see. How about Brant Snedeker, Dustin Johnson, and Bo Van Pelt?
I think those are great because you got some of my TaylorMade boys in there.
I thought they were all TaylorMade. Did I?
I love it.
Yes, yes, yes. So it is getting exciting, and the FedEx Cup is exciting, and watching these guys get nervous is exciting. Rory McIlroy, he has nothing. He's not nervous about anything. I mean, he's everybody's chasing him now. What did he finish at? He's like 12 under through 2 days. Amazing 6-under round. Shot a 65. The kid's like on fire.
Yeah, anytime you go 65-65, you're feeling pretty good about your game.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to worry about anything. But a lot of guys are concerned about getting onto that Ryder Cup, or at least some of them on the edge are. Hunter Mahan, Steve Stricker, Jim Furyk, Ricky Fowler, Brant Snedeker, Bo Van Pelt, and Dustin Johnson, all possibles. What about the guy who's hot? What if somebody completely out of the list starts winning wins this weekend? Would that be that would be the captain's option? Davis Love III could make that pick, couldn't he?
Well, I think he definitely has to look at that, because when you're hot, you're hot. And, you know, these guys that are in the FedEx Cup playoffs and that have reached this opportunity, they're great. I mean, these guys are so good. So you've got to be able to look at the guys that are hot, that are still here in the playoffs. I mean, he could pick someone, like you said, that are way down the point list. But if they're hot, they're hot.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see. He doesn't have an easy job. I heard everyone say Steve Stricker or Jim Furyk absolutely going to make the team. Hunter Mahan was absolutely going to make the team until he missed the cut a couple of times. And now somebody was talking on a golf channel that don't want Jim Furyk or Steve Stricker. They're too old. Want youth. Want youth on.
Do you remember the intensity of Jeff Overton?
Yeah.
When he was playing, I mean, you know, there's a guy that's hot that hasn't been talked about at all. I mean, who knows?
The opportunities. Interesting. Okay, well, and do you like the way the FedEx Cup is handled? Do you think basically my question this morning, are your picks for the Ryder Cup, and if you like the FedEx Cup?
Yeah, you know, I do like the FedEx Cup. I think they've done a great job with it. And, I mean, everything has its, things that need to be polished and enhanced, but I think they've done a great job with it.
Okay. When's the next demo day, TaylorMade?
We actually have one going on today at Kaneohe Clipper.
At the Kaneohe Clipper course? I like Kaneohe. It's one of the courses, most of them in Hawaii are participating in the Patriot Golf Day. So you go over there, and a portion of your green fee will go to the Folds of Honor Foundation, which is a very cool Labor Day event that's been going on since 2007. And we'll be talking a bit more about that with Tony Biata, PGA, coming up a little bit later on in the show. We have a winner, and I'm looking at the name. His name is Mike, and he's from Mililani. Congratulations, Mike. TaylorMade rocket balls coming your way. I'll be taking them, they'll come to you priority mail. I'll take them to the post office this coming week. Anything else we should cover, Jerry, in our lesson?
You know, a few days ago, I was given a lesson to one of my good friends that just so happened to get a Hazel rocket. Okay, we're not going to use the name, but he got the Hazel rocket.
That is painful.
It is a painful thing, and, you know, you don't want to see it, you don't want to hear it, you don't want to feel it. You know, and you feel for the person that does, but you just got to look away. But it's something where there's a really quick fix, and so anybody out there that's been hitting it off the heel or getting close to hitting it off the Hazel, get out on the range and put a ball about 3 to 4 inches just to the side of the ball that you're going to hit. So in other words, it's going to be about 2 inches away from the toe of your club. So you're looking down at that and going, all right, I have to miss that outside ball to be able to hit my ball. And you get there and hit some shots and make sure that you stay away from that outside ball. Having that visual reference gets you to feel like your arms are closer to your body through impact, and you end up hitting it, if anything, on the center of the club face or more towards the toe and not the heel, because you're trying to stay away from that outside ball. Does that visual make sense?
Yes, it does. But and then I had a thought. The Kaneohe Clipper, if you're on Oahu, are you going to be there?
I'm not. I'm actually on Maui this weekend.
So how can people get in touch with Jerry King and get a lesson in addition to getting the latest TaylorMade products?
Best thing is to send me an email at jerry@jerrykinggolf.com. Jerry@jerrykinggolf.
Okay. That's Jerry at
jerrykinggolf.com.
Okay.
Jerry@jerrykinggolf.
That's simple. Jerry King Golf. Why did I just, my brain just made it complicated. Anything with an at gets complicated. Okay, so what's going to be featured at the demo day?
You know, Paul Ogawa, he's the executive director for the Hawaii State Golf Association.
Yes.
And he's my main man over there on Oahu as a tech rep. He's going to be there. And we're going to have all the rocket ball drivers, the R11S drivers. You know, the rocket ball fairways are just, right now, it's off the charts. You're like, really? I'm hitting it 17 yards longer than any other fairway? I mean, it's been fun seeing everybody be able to now reach par fives or even hitting their three wood now off the tee, almost getting, you know, 20 yards longer, 30 yards longer, 5 yards longer. And so we'll have the RVZ, the rocket ball fairways out there, and the rescues, and all of the irons, and the new ATV wedge, which is the most versatile wedge in golf. So come on out to Kaneohe Clipper and test the latest and greatest TaylorMade.
And what time?
It's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
10 a.m. And say hi to Paul Ogawa, because he's going to be there from 10 to 2 with TaylorMade. Jerry King, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for the lesson. It made so much sense. And as I said, you can listen at radiogolfclub.com, okay?
Thanks for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely.
It's always a pleasure.
Always. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot.
Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Yep, all you got to do is email Jerry at Jerry King Golf, and he can solve some of those problems for you, or at least get you in the right direction. Remember. All right, let me take care of this real quick for you. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, KTOH FM1 Princeville. That's all the stations. All right, of course, and we're at RadioGolfClub.com as well. Michael Patrick Shields, the Golf Club travel correspondent extraordinaire. He's the Michigan State Radio morning show host. Does this every morning for hours. Michael Patrick Shields, welcome to the show.
Aloha. How nice to hear your voice again.
It's always fun. You have such energy. I can't wait to see you at Augusta.
We're going to get there. That's a date, isn't it? We're going to both be there this year.
We're both going to be there this year. It is a date, sir. And indeed it is.
I thought maybe that Condoleezza Rice would make you her first guest, and she has a foursome. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that would be fun. But I would go with, either one. It's just fine with me.
You know, I saw her on Piers Morgan the other night from the Republican convention, and he was saying to her that he'd like to be her guest, and she told him, "I've got a long waiting list."
Straight up, in your face, yes.
Yeah,
she's not afraid to just tell you like it is. Okay, your Ryder Cup captain's picks, sir.
You know, I know that the reason they have captain's picks are for strategy, I guess, and for Davis Love has said he wants to have hot players going in so you can sort of adjust a little bit. But I think, how'd you like to be the guy who's on the bubble and who missed it by, you know, one position or two positions? You really would feel like kind of a bummer if the captain looked over you at that position. So I think if it were me, I would take a real hard look at the next two players on the list, and I understand from what I read that Steve Stricker is likely to get in because Tiger likes him a lot, and that certainly gives you enough experience if you've got Mickelson and Stricker and Woods, and let the young guys go, I think, is what you ought to do. Don't you think?
So you're for the young guys. You want youth on this team.
They ought to put Ricky Fowler on there probably, and they ought to, you know, maybe look at Hunter Mahan. He won the match play this year, so he's pretty good at that.
Yeah.
You know, I just think, you know, let the young guys get in there. I don't know that they need Jim Furyk.
Poor Jim. He was a lock just a couple weeks ago. Oh, how things change.
Well.
No. Well, that's what, you know, opinions are all about. We all have one. It's wonderful. The Ryder Cup Captain's Picks News Conference will be live in New York City on Tuesday, September 4th. NASDAQ. It's great how they're putting it all together. You know, we're going to have the schedule of events as the news conference announcing them, and then he's going to ring the closing bell at NASDAQ. So it's going to be a lot about the Ryder Cup. All right. Medina. Okay.
Yes.
You know this course.
Yes, I snuck onto it once.
Once?
Yeah. I mean, I covered the PGA there when Tiger and Sergio went down the stretch. That's where everybody remembers Sergio splashing on the scene. You remember he hit that shot from the sort of trees on the right and went running across the fairway and kicking his legs up in the air and trying to see the ball at the green, and that's when we first said, wow, that's a flashy guy, and we probably figured he'd win majors by now, but he hasn't. Tiger got him there down the stretch again, and I think if we remember right, some of the crowd in Chicago were a little rough on Sergio because everyone was rooting for Tiger at the time, but that was a lot of fun, and the time that I played there, I went with a guy who said to me, you know, I got us on Medina, we're going to go on Monday and play around 4 o'clock, and I said, well, that's okay, so we traveled over, we drove 5 hours from Detroit, and we got there, and the place was deserted, and we parked the car and carried our own clubs, played the first hole, got to the back of the second green, and all of a sudden here comes a cart with a man from the club on it, and we're the only people on the whole golf course. I should have known right then and there something was up, and he says, what are you two doing out here? I said, well, and I looked at the buddy of mine, and he sort of did his Jedi mind trick on him, and he dropped a couple names and said that they said we could play, and they kept us for about 4 minutes, and then he drove away, and we played the rest of the course in complete solitude.
Wow.
Playing in very thick rough where it was very hard to find the ball. It's a mean, tough course, for sure. And then and when we got done and we were at the bar after, I said, so how did you arrange that again? And he said, I really didn't. We just took our chances.
That's wonderful. You literally snuck on. See, but you were in blissful ignorance. You had no idea. So you just went, that's perfect.
He invited us to the party. It was nearly dark by the time we finished, and my wrists and hands were sore as can be because it was really thick rough.
And that's what we're watching. We're watching these guys come out of the rough. We don't realize just how much strength it takes to come out, do we? It's interesting. Yeah. Dustin Johnson, they say that he'd be good to be with Mickelson, and that he's he's very long off the tee, and that Medina would suit his game because it's such a long course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things, too, if you happen to go there to watch the Ryder Cup, you got to be patient as a spectator because they have these bridges that connect parts of the course, and they're rather narrow. And they close half of the bridge, narrow as it is already, so that the players can get through and the TV golf carts and all that sort of thing. So if you're in a certain part of the course at a certain part of time, you really got to not be claustrophobic or patient because it can take a lot of time to get up and down and around that course with those bridges. But it's right there in suburban Chicago. It's got one of the most distinctive clubhouses you'll ever see, sort of a kind of a Moorish sort of look to it. Looks like a Middle Eastern castle in the middle of Chicago. And the parking is easy and all that, though, because they have other courses there they can use. They have five courses at Medina or something like that, and there's plenty of space there in the suburbs.
What inspired the Moorish-looking clubhouse? Do you know?
I wish I knew. I think it was a club of some sort, like, they have, like, the Knights of Columbus or some of those service clubs. I think it was one of those service clubs that put that together.
That makes sense. Okay. Let's change the subject completely. Actually,
okay.
Duffy Waldorf was on the show. He's kind of a wine aficionado. He enjoys wine. I understand Jim Nance has a new wine out that you... Have you tried it?
Oh, yeah, I sure have. In fact, we had a... By the way, Duffy's just a good old guy, isn't he?
He's wonderful. I had a blast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember covering him at the Disney tournament down there one autumn, and he was in the hunt. And he wore the most outrageous mismatched hats and shirts that you'd ever want to imagine, like Hawaiian shirts and flowered hats. And of course, you'd like that in Hawaii. But his golf balls were all distorted, too, because instead of just marking his ball with a dot or a letter, he let his kids color them with markers.
Yes, and he said, I get to draw on one, too, when he's here. And I get to, if we go to dinner, he would bring a couple, and I could make my messages for him.
Oh, nice. And then back then, I don't know how, that was some time ago, but it was Halloween, so they draw, witches and pumpkins and all kinds of stuff. And what a good guy to be able to be so colorful and relaxed and all that sort of thing. But, Jim Nance has a new wine. It's called The Calling. And I got a bottle of it, a couple bottles of it, as soon as it came out because I'm pretty good friends with him. And it's with the Peter Deutsch Winery, and that's from obviously Northern California there. And it's called The Calling because he's, dedicated to his calling. His calling was broadcasting sports, of course, for CBS, the Masters, the Super Bowl, the Final Four, sometimes all in a row. And he wanted people to think about what their calling is and that maybe they could unlock their calling. So on the label, you're not going to find his picture or anything like that. He's not that kind of guy. It'll be a keyhole. And sort of, if you see it on the shelf, it's a keyhole to unlock your calling by saluting his calling. And so some of the money goes to the Nance National Alzheimer's Foundation from this wine because, as you may know, his father passed away from Alzheimer's. And he wrote about it in his book, Always by My Side. But just so happened, if you can believe this, you think this is a big world, Danielle, but golf shrinks the world entirely. I was in Marquette, Michigan, broadcasting from a golf charity golf outing up there, and I had my bottles of The Calling with me. And Tom Izzo, the Michigan State Spartan basketball coach, and Steve Mariucci, who is good friends with him, who coached the 49ers and the Lions, and now he's on the NFL Network. They were among the celebrities at this charity event. So on the radio, I had them taste test Jim Nance's wine, The Calling, because obviously they both know Jim Nance, mm-hmm. Izzo from basketball and Mariucci from football from the NFL. And so they taste tested it, they liked it, and all that sort of thing. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked to Jim Nance on the air, and he said, hey, I ran into Steve Mariucci in all places in the Chianti region of Italy and in Tuscany there, and he told me he tasted my wine with you on the air. Isn't that something?
The Calling. I mean, I like
what
it.
What are the chances?
No, yeah, I know. I know.
Mooch is a wine guy, too. He lives in wine country there north of San Francisco.
You know, the world is only three swipes. If you put it on if you take the globe and put it on your smartphone, you can swipe three times. And
oh, that's so entirely high tech.
Yeah. Okay. Ben Wright's turning 80.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I was talking to Jim Nance, is we had a little bash for him up at Arcadia Bluffs in northern Michigan, where he comes in for the Crystal Mountain Invitational. And, you know, he's boyish. He's a very boyish 80. He was the CBS broadcaster for the better part of 30 years. You would have heard him on the Masters coverage and all that sort of thing. And so he was there with Gary McCord and Pat Summerall and Ken Venturi when you watch those golf tournaments on CBS. So he was turning 80. And I'm thinking, you know, we're going to have a little party for him up there. And it's a Scottish-style golf course. And I said, what can I do for Ben? Because, you know, I've known him for almost 20 years now, and we've written two books together, and I was best man at his most recent wedding, and he was best man at two of mine. And so,
two of mine.
Like, what? Yeah,
I love you.
What do we get the guy who has everything? So I thought, you know what? I bet you. Let's see if we could do a haggis ceremony. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen or heard of a haggis ceremony, but it's a traditional Scottish dish. Haggis is. And so we arranged for a piper and a man to do the haggis ceremony. And basically they cooked the haggis, which they did at Arcadia Bluffs after researching a recipe and sort of assembling the parts needed. And I do mean parts
Yes, you do.
And as the sun was going down in the gloaming, we surprised him. In came the piper with a cart with a tray on it with the haggis. And the man came and he read the Robbie Burns Scottish poem and he stabbed the haggis with a sword. And Ben knew what it was. He said he hadn't seen one since Glen Eagles in the 1950s. And everyone else was kind of in shock. And so if you can imagine this, they passed, they served it on dishes and passed it all around, and everybody tasted the haggis.
Wow, that is so cool.
Yeah, you know, and even you. Ben says that it's best not to know what haggis
is when
you try it.
No. And if you want to, we don't want to discuss it on the radio either. Look it up online. Google it. You'll find it. H-A-G-G-I-S, yes.
And the chefs there tried to make it so you have to put all these parts, like, ground up. You want me to tell you? It's ground up, like, kidney and heart and liver.
That's
and
not
entrails.
The bad part. Yes, everything.
And they're ground up with oatmeal and stuffed into the stomach of a sheep.
Yes, I understand. Now, think about it. You eat that stuff every day when you have a hot dog, okay? The bottom line.
The poor chefs at Arcadia tried three times to make it, and the stomach kept exploding in the kitchen until they finally got it right.
It was a blast. It was a blast, indeed.
Yes.
It was. The entire kitchen. Can I ask a very serious question before I have a wonderful man, Tony Biotta, is standing by Patriot Golf Day, you know.
All right. Yes, sir. Gotta get out of his way.
Well, you don't have to get out of anyone's way. You could stay, but you probably have other things to do on it, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Michigan. But, you know, are we ever going to forgive Ben Wright? Is he in the Hall of Fame yet?
He's not in the Hall of Fame. His director is just Frank Turkinian, got put in the World Golf Hall of Fame last year. But he's living a great life, you know. And the guys made a video for him to show at his birthday with Jim Nance and Gary McCord. And Gary McCord on the video, he says, "Ben, I watched your habits. I saw how you lived. You should have been dead 30 years ago. And whatever is left of you must really look bleepy."
Well, I just think, you know, we forgave Dottie Pepper. I think we can forgive Ben Wright and get him into the World Golf Hall of Fame. It's about time.
Amen to that. Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
I'll tell them you said so.
Thank you very much, and say hi for me, okay?
I will indeed. I'll talk to you from somewhere exotic very soon.
I hope so, because it's like traveling the world with none other than Michael Patrick Shields, our golf club travel correspondent extraordinaire. Aloha.
Thank you very much. Aloha to you.
We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical, across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club. But you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to The Golf Club.
And welcome back in the clubhouse. We've got some tea times. And now remember, this is Patriot Golf Day weekend, okay? All weekend long, Patriot Golf Day. A portion of the green fee, when you go to play golf, a portion of that will go to Folds of Honor. And we're going to find out what that all means from Tony Biata, PGA. Let me give you some tee times, though. You might like to go to play at Volcano. There's a 9:48. Makalei has a 10:44. There's an 8:52 or 9:48 at Kapolei, cart path only, because they're getting ready for the Hawaii Pacific Links Championship, Champions Tour coming. We've also got Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 9:30, and McKenna has a 9:20. Poipu, where there's the 25% off sale, on the rack already, there's a sale rack, and there's another 25% off on all items on the sale rack. Did that make total sense? I hope so. There's an 8:50, a 9:30, and a 10:20. Now, when you play golf, go play golf. Go support the people who have done so much for our country by serving in the armed forces. And to talk with us about that, Tony Biata, welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning, Danielle. How is everyone?
Doing really good. Having a really good morning and looking forward to going and playing, you know, whatever kind of golf we play. No high expectations. You, Tony Biata, PGA, right? I mean, you understand.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. I'm a 20-year PGA professional. Just had my 20th year anniversary August 1st.
Tell us, what is the Folds of Honor and Patriot Golf Day? You're the director of Patriot Golf Day. What is it? What does this mean? What are we doing?
Well, the Folds of Honor Foundation is a 501c3 not-for-profit foundation that honors the sacrifice of men and women who have given their lives or been wounded in Iraq and in Afghanistan.
So this weekend, when we go and play golf, a portion of our green fees, what we pay to play, will go to the Folds of Honor Foundation?
That's correct. And what we do is we give scholarships to the families that are left behind. We take care of the dependents. And a lot of people think we just take care of the kids, and we do. But we also take care of the spouses. If there's a spouse who's left behind, Danielle, and she needs to go back to school because now she will be the, or in some cases it's a male.
Right, you know? I was just going to say, a guy, you know.
Guys are left behind. They
right.
are.
And
it's a fact.
Something I just wanted, my son is in the Army, and what's really clear in the Army is one spouse takes care of the house while the other spouse is taking care of the job, right, in
That's
the military.
Right.
So if the spouse is the man who is not serving, but he's still serving. He's taking care of the home while she is deployed.
That's right. And a lot of people don't realize what a key role that the spouses and the dependents do play in the grand scheme of things. And they are the supporting force for these military personnel who give so much of themselves. And, you know, this weekend is our national promotion for Patriot Golf Day. But one thing's for sure, that Patriot Golf Day can be any day you want it to be. And it's becoming a year-long endeavor, Danielle. It has to be. Because there's just certain parts of the country where it doesn't work well this time of year. And in particular, in South Florida and out in the desert southwest, Phoenix, Arizona, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's very hot there. So, you know, they choose to have Patriot Golf Day on a different time of the year. And we're actually focusing on it this year to have Patriot Golf Day around Veterans Day. And that works well, too.
That's a good idea. November, it cools off a little bit. Absolutely.
Yes, and a lot of people travel to these destinations to be there for the winter time here on the mainland, and it makes sense. So that's what we're doing. And, you know, sometimes they'll get rained out on Labor Day weekend. Like, I'm right here in Valparaiso, Indiana right now, and we're facing the remnants of the hurricane that came up through the Gulf. And it's raining right now, and there's a possibility that we may have to cancel this event. This was an enormous event last year. It raised $35,000 for us.
Wow.
And plans this year are to raise up over $50,000. So, you know, if we have to cancel, we will, but we're going to try and gut it out. And it's incredible what's going on here, Danielle. The entire community is getting behind this this event. It's going to start with a parade, and then there's a concert this evening, and then after the concert, there's fireworks, and then 2 days of golf for the rest of the weekend. So just the entire community is behind it. The mayor's going to be there. And we have events like this all over the country, and I'm proud to tell you that we have about 210 events all over the country, and they're all different times of the year. The majority of them are right now on this weekend. And that's the beauty of Patriot Golf Day. You can do just about anything you want to do. You can have the $1 donation or a donation onto your green fee, or you can do special games on the golf course. You can have events where you're having a tournament that's specifically designated to generate donations. But the best part about it is that it all works.
So, and it can be any time. We happen to work very nicely to be able to do it during this three-day weekend, Patriot Golf Day in Hawaii. Most of the golf courses are participating. It doesn't matter which course you go to, you will be making a donation to Folds of Honor.
Yeah, and I can't say enough for the Aloha section of the PGA. Anthony Valverde is the executive director.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I need to get out there and spend some time with that section because the members of the PGA there have been so supportive of Folds of Honor and Patriot Golf Day. And their participation is incredible there. And hats off to all of the members of the Aloha section for what they do. And we realize that in Hawaii you have a tremendous military presence there, and it's great to see our PGA brothers honoring that and getting behind the cause.
It's really something. And it started in 2007, and in the last 5 years, golfers nationwide instrumental in raising more than $12.8 million through the Patriot Golf Day events.
That's correct.
Wow.
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, last year we were blessed to have 4,544 courses registered for Patriot Golf Day, and this year we've exceeded it, and I wish I could tell you the number, but it's still out.
It's still growing.
It's still growing, yes, for this year, and I will find out probably Tuesday of next week, and, you know, I'd be happy to come back on your show periodically and give your reports on Patriot Golf Day, and, you know, we realize that you and everyone there in Hawaii and in the Aloha section have been behind this cause since day one. And, you know, I would like to stay in good touch with you.
Thank you.
On this and, you know, meeting you for the first time over the phone. And I know you and I have talked before, but I look forward to being able to come out to Hawaii and
that would be fun.
Speak at the Aloha section meeting and meet all these great people who support our cause so strongly.
We kind of touched briefly. Let's get back. There's some 2,600 recipients in all 50 states and 41 PGA sections already from the fundraisers. Now, you help the kids and you help the spouse with their college education or re-education, trade schools, doesn't matter, right?
Does not matter. And I'm very proud to tell you, Danielle, and I know that you don't know this because it just happened a month ago, but we actually sent out 940 scholarship letters letting new recipients know that they have been awarded a Folds of Honor scholarship for this year, 2012, which brings our total now up to over 3,500 scholarships.
Wow, that's really, really, really cool.
So that's hot off the presses and current info that I know that you didn't have access to at the time. And just wanted to report that to you and all the great folks out there in Hawaii.
How did you get involved? How did you become the Patriot Golf Day director?
Well, you know, it's a long story, but I'll give you the shortened version of it. Back in January 16th, 2008, Dan reported to the membership at the annual meeting in Orlando, Florida. And at the time, I was vice president of the Central New York PGA, and I was soon to be president that fall. And Dan just made this plea and told us his story about Brock Buckland and what happened on that aircraft that night. And if you want me to tell the story, I can do that later, but it is a considerable story, and it's certainly worth hearing.
Absolutely. Dan Rooney was on the show in 2007, but we have about 2 minutes before the show ends today. Can you tell us the story?
Sure. Well, you know, yeah, you tell me when. You tell me when you want me to tell the story.
Right now.
Okay. Well, Dan was on a short flight going from from Chicago to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and as he got on the aircraft, he noticed that there was a private in dress greens there. And he thought, wow, this is really great. They've upgraded this young man to a first-class seat. Didn't think much of it. Went back and sat in his seat right over the cargo hold. The plane took off. It landed in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And as it landed, the pilot came on the intercom, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, we have an American hero on board." And Dan immediately thought it was this private up there in the first-class seat. And he said, "We are carrying the remains of Private Brock Buckland, and his twin brother, Brad, is his escort and has escorted him the 6,000 miles from Iraq. We would please want to ask everyone on the aircraft to remain seated and let this American hero be the first one off the aircraft." So the aircraft taxied up to the gate. The honor guard was there. The family was there. And Dan noticed as he looked out the window that there was this little boy, a four-year-old boy, standing there with his grandfather and his grandmother. And the cargo conveyor came up to the cargo hold, and he noticed the honor guard ready to receive the casket. And as the casket was going down the cargo conveyor, he looked back into the aircraft, and more than half the people had gotten up and left.
Oh, my God.
So this deeply affected Dan. He just... You know, it all came to a head for him because this was his second tour of duty. Coming back from Iraq, he had just gotten back himself, and he had seen the other side of war now, where the casualties of war. And he didn't see that much from an F-16 cockpit.
Right.
But got off the plane, got a hold of his wife, Jackie, and told her how upset he was over how these folks just couldn't give 10 minutes of their life to honor this American hero. And Dan came from a educational background with his dad being a professor at Oklahoma State University. And they got this idea, let's do a scholarship, and maybe I can help this little four-year-old boy, because he couldn't get the picture of this little boy out of his mind.
That's really amazing. That's exactly what I wanted you to tell Tony Beata, PGA, Director of Patriot Golf Day. Thank you very much for sharing that, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Danielle, my absolute pleasure, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Reporting up to you again.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I want to thank our sponsors who make the show possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, combining the beauty of nature and the design of Robert Trent Jones, Jr., bordered by emerald green mountains, 30 acres of tropical plants, and ancient places of worship. It's Poipu Bay Golf Course. Alakai Mechanical, number one for your air conditioning and plumbing needs. Alakai Mechanical, you gotta have your AC running at top efficiency, and that's why you need service from Alakai Mechanical. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home, for your business. A special event, get Star Protection on your team. And Discount Furniture Warehouse, find them right on Nimitz Highway. You can't miss them. It's Discount Furniture Warehouse. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. And you can always find us at RadioGolfClub.com. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.